Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear people, as we promised, we brought yet another great patriot on, another expert in the fight against the you-know-who, Mr. Fred Leutcher. But I wrote this as a note. We're going to go off on a little different topic now. I'm going to read this to you people out there. The so-called Unite the Right trial in federal court in Charlottesville, Virginia, was never about the Fed's charge of a white supremacist conspiracy theory to attack blacks. It was, from the very start, just another in a long line of endless schemes by the Jews to turn Charlottesville into one more episode of theatricals showcasing the Holocaust. That patented trademark God that jealous God that will have no other God before it. That's what the whole damn trial was about. Tell us all about it, Mr. Paul Fromm.
Yes, the cultural Marxists and you know, major components of our elite absolutely freaked out after Charlottesville. The sight of hundreds of good-looking young white men and women marching for to preserve the Confederate monument and to preserve the white fact in North America, that we're not going to roll over and play dead. The fact that these are healthy people who somehow missed the guilt propaganda, they were shocked. And it was obvious that vengeance was going to come down on them, and all sorts of groups that were not even had nothing to do with Charlottesville in the months afterwards lost their their PayPal, their billing abilities. That there was just wholesale persecution. The cancel culture crowd tried to identify people who were at Charlottesville. People got kicked out of university who had been there, lost their jobs. I mean, there was outright psychotic repression. And Donald Trump was lambasted for several years because he said there were good people on both sides. Well, I disagree with him. I don't think there were very many good people among the Antifa who were trying to assault the white nationalists. But just when he said that there were some good people on both sides, Trump came under an awful lot of pressure because the narrative is that those of us who are proud of our people are the arch devils. And one of the things that really terrified and infuriated the cultural Marxists and the Zionists was the people in the march, in the torchlight parade, said that they were not going to, knuckle under to Jewish pressure anymore. Not their exact words. Well, that was rebellion, and that's why they've gone after them in these civil proceedings where they're trying to bankrupt people. And that's part of the we're at war. That's the bottom line. We're at war.
Correct, and they said the battle cry there too, that the torchlight parade was, "We will not be replaced. We shall not be replaced." What do you think about that, Mr. Fred Leutcher?
Well, I think what Paul said is quite true. He's talking about the attempt of the morally bankrupt to financially bankrupt the people that are right. And I mean, this whole thing, they should be ashamed of themselves. I mean, these people have no conscience. They've got no, they don't care about anybody or anything except their agenda. And I believe their agenda is the NWO, and that's where they're going with this thing. But I mean, when they brought when they brought up the Holocaust at the trial, I mean, that's tantamount to saying that there were gas chambers at Charlottesville, or maybe Charlottesville was in Poland, because I mean, it had nothing to do with anything. And all they wanted to do was smear everybody there and say that these people were nasty Nazis with gas chambers, which is ludicrous. The people that were there, most of them don't even know what was going on in Poland at the time. They know that there was no Holocaust, but they don't know all the details. And all this was just subterfuge to smear the people that were dealing with in the litigation. And it's just a damn shame. It's a damn shame that the judge allowed it. He should be ashamed of himself.
Judge Moon, you know, Fred, he has two Antifa people that belong to Antifa that work his law clerks. They're in his office. So I don't know how in the hell people think we're going to get a fair shake on that. Another thing they said, I believe her name was Roberta Kaplan. Monica probably knows more about that than I do. Roberta Kaplan was a big-time Jew lawyer. They have a whole suite in the Empire State Building. They have, you know, a bottomless pit of money. She said, and the judge would not let this into court, she said that the very reason she took this case was to she wanted to bankrupt and destroy patriots, to destroy anybody's ability to do anything like Charlottesville again. She wanted to make it impossible for people to be peaceful protest under their First Amendment rights from the Constitution and even from the Bible, God-given rights. She wanted to do away with that. She said she wanted to make the penalty so severe for the people that went to Charlottesville that they would never, ever, ever again try anything like that. But you know what? The judge, and she's on record of saying that, Fred. She bragged about that. But the judge would not let that statement be entered into the court. He struck it down immediately. What do you think about that, Monica?
Yeah, there's such a thing called slap suit.
Correct.
Strategic lawsuit against public participation, where the people who bring these slap suits on, they will often admit that they have no case, they have no facts on their side, but the purpose is to bankrupt people and to prevent them from doing such things again, to actually use the court system for right and for justice, for true justice. So yeah, that's what they're doing. And back to the Holocaust being brought in, it doesn't matter if people know the facts or not, don't know the facts, like what Fred mentioned, even if the people kind of know that, gee, the things didn't go down like they told us they went down, but they might not know much about the details. But that's not even relevant anymore when this term Holocaust or Holocaust denier has been so weaponized that it doesn't even, like people, when they hear that term, it just sets off this trigger Pavlovian response, shall we say. It's just a Pavlovian response that this is a bad thing, this is a bad person. It shuts down the brain, not even thinking anymore. It's like it puts up gates in the brain, and you can't go through these gates. So yeah, it's just the most bizarre thing, and yet they get away with it, bringing in this so-called Holocaust historian, Deborah Lipstadt, into the trial. I mean, it just takes my breath away that they got away with that. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I might mention something on that, because all these people, all the Jews ever do here is put out propaganda. A number of years ago, when I was on trial for practicing without a license, the B'nai B'rith put out a report that I built the gas chambers in Poland. But some of the people believed it. And when I told them how old I was, they said, what? But that's exactly what they do. And if they pick up one, two, or three adherents that don't get to hear the truth, they got a few more people. So they're a disgrace.
You know what, Paul? You could have come back and said, yes, you were along with Eisenhower. Of course, Eisenhower was older. Eisenhower refurbished, if you told me, the one in Dachau, supposedly. It made it look, it was a model concentration camp, that communist Jew Eisenhower. You could have said, yeah, you went over there, you did it for Warner Brothers, because you're going to be, you're going to continue the charade of the Holocaust. And so the oldest gas chamber they had over there was built in 1972 or et cetera. But go ahead, Paul.
Eisenhower didn't refurbish it. He built it and invented it. There was none.
That's
there.
Right. I mean, so. Can you... That's as low as you can get. But go ahead. I think we're getting ready to say something, Paul.
Yeah, you know, I think it was Fred said something to the effect that some of the people, or many of the people there, especially younger ones, may not have known much about the Holocaust, and other than it was probably exaggerated. And, you know, maybe that's not such a bad thing, because I think there's got to be a new way of thinking or approaching people. Those of us who are history buffs, et cetera, are very concerned with it.
Well, there's that music. I think you heard it, Paul. We got to go to our first break in the second hour. Dear people, please hold on. We got a great show for you tonight. We're having a great roundtable here. We'll be right back.
Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. With that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, people, you're still listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Biller. We got the one and only Paul Fromm. We're going right back to him right now without wasting another second. Go ahead, Paul. Continue talking what you were talking about before the break.
I have another approach to the so-called Holocaust, and I think it's quite simple. And I ask people three questions. Did the Holocaust happen in Canada, the United States, whatever this Holocaust thing was? No. Well, whatever this Holocaust thing was, did we do it? No. Well, whatever this Holocaust thing was, did it happen to people who were Canadian or Americans at the time? No. Well, as Travis Tritt said in a song some years ago, here's a quarter, who called someone who cares. We didn't do it. It didn't happen to our people, and it didn't happen here. Why should I have to buy into your tribal history? And that's what it is. The Holocaust tale is their tribal history. And I say every tribe's got the right to tell history their way, and, you know, and we, some of us even study Native, tribal histories or mythologies, and they're nice and all that, but I don't have to believe it. The Holocaust is the only tribal history we're compelled to believe. So I think in some ways that maybe is a little, they may for some people be a little easier to get their heads around, and it frees them from guilt. You don't have any reason to feel guilty. We didn't do it.
No, but if they're going to tell their tribal history, at least they should come up with some kind of a scenario that could be could possibly have happened. It's not,
yes.
You know, it's not possible to mass execute people with gas. That's one of the things that I showed in my report for the Zundel trial. I mean, if we're going to build a gas chamber, we cannot, it will not work with more than two or three people. The hardware isn't there. The amount of gas that would be required is astronomical. It's just, if they were going to do this, they should have hired some engineer to figure out what they could do, and they needed some other method of execution. So, as I say, if somebody said to me, I want to execute all these people, I'd put them in mines and blow the mines up. That's the cheapest way I can figure it out. But they didn't have me. They didn't have anybody to come up with a plan. They came up with idiocy, and they've shoved it down everybody's throat because nobody understood how a gas chamber works. But we do now. Okay.
Go ahead, Monica.
Yeah, I'd like to just turn this around, this narrative of how and why they brought the Holocaust into the Charlottesville trial. They are running scared. They're losing the narrative. They are so desperate. And I'm talking about our eternal enemy. And, you know, why they have to resort to bringing up this tale, this fictitious tale, or, you know, their tribal history, which is nothing but, a fiction. And they are obviously running very scared that they have to bring that in. And, of course, it's, how do they get away with it? It's because they've just drummed this into people and turned it into, like I said earlier, this weaponized concept that shuts down the ability for people to think about it. And yeah, like Fred says, it's they could have come up with a tale that's at least possible, but they perhaps did us the favor of coming up with a story that just is entirely impossible. And they are running scared, and we should just take this and turn this around. And, you know, this narrative that they like to pump out of there's no future and no hope, and this fear that they're constantly, injecting the masses with through all kinds of means, you know, and the latest of which is this big boogeyman, dangerous, horrible, scary virus that's, you know, hasn't killed but 0.0001% of the population. And even then, they've never isolated it. But anyway, it's just all about fear for them and no hope, no future. And we need to absolutely turn that around. They are scared. And as soon as we show that we do not have fear, my goodness, they then have the fear. It's like they don't like that at all. And I've experienced that personally. Alfred has experienced that personally. When we show no fear, they run scared. They really do. I'll turn it back over to one of you.
Go ahead, Fred.
Okay. One of the things that I mentioned, and I'd like to mention, because Monica just mentioned it, we need to face them at all points. We're dealing with the situation now with the corona, where they want to force execute inject people, and they're starting to do that now in Europe. They certainly are doing it in China. But what we need to do is point out to the world and point out to the money part of the world what's going on here. The injections that they want people to take are going to kill people. Well, there's no question about that. And what are the insurance companies going to do with all these medical expenses to take care of all these people that they've mass executed, mass injected? And what are they going to do with all the life insurance policies when all these people die in 5 to 8 or 10 years? We need to show these people that it's going to be too expensive. And maybe at that point, some of them are going to back off. But we need to meet them at every point. And I just mentioned that because that's going to be the new Holocaust, the injections, the COVID virus. So what do you think of that, Monica?
Yeah, actually, I mean, yeah, I like your little Freudian slip there with the mass executions being the mass injections. Yeah.
Well, it's true. There's been thousands and thousands of people that died from the stinking vaccine. It's true. There's been teenage boys, prime physical specimens, athletes, you know, track runner, football players just dying. It sudden heart attacks, you know, inflammation, cardiomyopathy, you know, valves being destroyed. That's absolutely true. I never thought I would see American people, Canadian people, white Anglo-Saxon people. I never thought I would see us become so spineless and gutless and just so lacking of all morals and so lacking of courage as to just give up, roll over, and submit to this evil Zog. And what gives me hope, I see where there's mass demonstrations in Croatia, and I think Poland, and in Germany. There have been mass demonstrations, people, thousands and thousands of people getting in the streets. Mainstream media is not covering it at all because they don't want us to know people are standing up. But I was watching some news clips just the other day. Well, actually, just yesterday, thousands of people in the street, and in Croatia, tens of thousands, and they're screaming and chanting, "You will not get our children." So that there is some, like Monica says, it's not all gloom and doom. We do need to take heart and, you know, put few victories we have. And I think in the end, the people, I think we'll stand up and we'll win this damn war.
But, Australia and Austria as well, Eddie, in both of those countries. Huge, like in the hundreds of thousands in many cities in Australia. They're out in the streets.
100,000 people in Vienna on Saturday against the four. Well, they're going to try to force vax people as well as another insane lockdown. And people are fighting back. That's really, really important.
The only problem is that after World War II, we took away everybody's guns in Europe.
Yes.
They should be armed like we are here in the United States. They haven't pushed mass vaccinations in the United States because they're afraid we're going to start shooting them.
They're damn well right. That's for sure. They're going to get their butts blown off.
Yes, you know, but unfortunately, the Austrians don't have any guns.
And Australian as well. They gave their guns away a few years ago, didn't they?
Yes, maybe we should arm all these people. It's about time that we put the firearms in the hands of the people that should have them instead of arming all the insurrectionists that we shouldn't have been. They've been arming communists and Bolsheviks for years. Let's start arming the real people, the people that are going to run this world.
Fred, we got to go to a break, and we're going to pick right back on that. Plus, I'm going to mention something about JFK when we come back. How are you, people?
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Before President Biden jets to Nantucket, Massachusetts for the Thanksgiving weekend, he will deliver a speech to the American people on how he plans to lower costs at 2 p.m. Eastern. Americans are getting hit with inflation due to many factors, including too much spending by the federal government. White House spokesperson Jen Psaki says the supply chain is partially to blame for inflation.
While our nation's importers are struggling with record shipping costs and our nation's exporters, including farmers, are struggling to get their product shipped, new data from the industry experts show that ocean carriers have been making extraordinary profits this year.
Bloomberg is reporting President Biden is planning to release oil stored in the Strategic Petroleum Reserve as soon as Tuesday. Disgraced former New York Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo would have been impeached had he stayed in office. An impeachment report has evidence of facts stating he sexually harassed 12 women, hid the accurate number of COVID-19 nursing home deaths, and pressured state employees to write his pandemic memoir. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. There are two things that I care about. I'm always working on my health and fitness, and I care so much about preventing illness. And that's where vitamin D comes in. Vitamin D is also known as the sunshine vitamin. How do you know if you have low levels of vitamin D? Most people don't. Sons of Liberty, our regular sponsors of CBD, have been working with a group of scientists to create this patent-pending spray vitamin. Five sprays contain a whopping 15,000 IUs of vitamin D3. It's instantly in your bloodstream, providing amazing protection against illness, and the taste is amazing. Protect yourself and your loved ones this season with this great-tasting vitamin D3 spray from Sons of Liberty. For my listeners only, go sonsofliberty.com is offering a discount of 15% off every product when you use the code WAR15 at checkout. Please support veteran-owned, service-disabled, small business. Go sonsofliberty.com. Make the healthy choice and choose go sonsofliberty.com. Use code WAR15 to get up to 15% off. Go sonsofliberty.com.
After the FBI failed to take action on a warning that Nicholas Cruz was going to snap, a settlement has been determined.
More than a dozen families of victims of the Parkland High School massacre are reaching a settlement with the Justice Department. All parties are now working to finalize additional details before the case can be dismissed on or before December 20th, according to an official court document filed Monday. The families suing the Justice Department and FBI for not acting on tips warning about the murderer who took the lives of 17 people at the Florida High School in 2018. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
It's being reported families of Parkland shooting victims settled their lawsuit with the DOJ for about $130 million. A likeness of Thomas Jefferson has been removed from New York City City Hall. Art handlers packed up the 884-pound statue of Jefferson Monday after a mayoral commission voted to banish the likeness of the nation's third president. USA Radio News.
Well, dear people, welcome back to we're at the midway of the second hour, three-fourths of the way through the show. I would just like to bring up a quick note, people. Yesterday, the 22nd of November, marked the 58th anniversary of the assassination of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. I remember where I was, just like it was yesterday. I was in the homeroom in junior high school, and he did a lot of bad things. The worst thing he ever did, I thought, was when he signed the blue book on the total disarmament of the United States of America. He said it was the title, "The Disarmament of the United States in the Face of a Peaceful World," something to that effect. And he wanted to turn over the entire United States military over to the United Nations, better named the United Nations. I tell all our people going into the military nowadays, you should not do that because you're not serving your country, mom and apple pie. You are taking your orders not from the president and not from the Congress of the United States. You're taking orders from NATO and the United Nations. So I just like people to know, but that was a long time ago. Most of our listeners weren't even born then, but that's true. I'd like to also say, something we were talking about in the breaks. It's true. A lot of people in European countries may not have firearms. I bet you there's more than you think. But what they do have pitchforks and shovels and hoes and crowbars, etc. And Rick Wilde said on True News, I could not agree more, we the people of the United States, we the people of Canada, we the people of Germany, Austria, Poland, whatever, need to have, there needs to be a run on pitchforks, rhetorically speaking. And those 100,000 people in the streets, I think it was in Austria that Paul was talking about, they need to be armed with pitchforks and say, and march upon these halls of authority, like the United States, march on the city hall, march on the mayor's office, march on your local congressman office, and run these, and don't just march, stop there, crash into these buildings, run these sorry criminals the hell out of this country, because we do not have a government anywhere in the world. I know we don't have a government here in the United States run by we the people. It's a giant bureaucracy. It's a giant, a humongous criminal enterprise, and they hate white people. They're not going to rest until we're dead. The final goal, the final end game of all this crap we've been talking about today is because their end game is our total extermination. So that's what we have to do. We have to have a giant run on pitchforks. We have to get another torchlight parade and run these damn people the hell out of this country, people. And that's the way I believe. Would you like to take off on that, Fred? I think you said we should do something like that too.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I also think we need to get the tar and the feathers, because we need to show these people. Let's go back to the way we used to do it years ago when this country was a real country. Let's go back and get the tar and the feathers and the rail, and let's take all these Jew bastards and tie them onto the rail and cover them with tar and feathers and drag them out of the towns. That'll
stop. What it's going to take.
At least we don't have to kill them all. That'll make it clear to them what they shouldn't be doing.
Absolutely. We have to do it. Our people, we have to get a damn backbone and stand up to these jokers. That's for damn sure. And I just heard during the news break, this, in a way, I'm glad. I didn't get which city it was. One of you people might have heard during the news break. They just took down Thomas Jefferson statue.
New York City.
Oh, where was that now? For Fred?
New York City.
Oh, New York. Hey, the greatest, there's probably never been a greater president in the United States than Thomas Jefferson. One of the great, he was in the top five at least. And they're taking down, you know, All these people, these Jews and these little millennials, and some people, a lot of people in the North that don't like the South, they were so happy when we were getting rid of these evil Southern statues, these evil racist statues like General Nathan Bedford Forrest, General Robert E. Lee. And we said, we warned years ago, honey, when they get through with our stuff, they're going to start, you're white too. They're going to come after George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Patrick Henry. They're going to get rid, and they're doing it, people. They just said on the news break here, they took down Thomas Jefferson's statue. Well, you know what? By God, I tell you what, they need to start going in these. Well, I'll stop right there, but I'm because they're getting ready to go off in too much of a rant. But go ahead, Monica. What do you have to say about that?
Well, when you're talking about the pitchforks, and I had to think about Alexander Solzhenitsyn. What's his famous quote, how they burned in, you know, when they were in those gulags and thinking, you know, if only they had just gathered up what they had, whether it was hammers or like pitchforks, anything. And, you know, when you have nothing to lose, but that's the thing, if the people don't realize and understand that how serious this actually is, this war against us, that really our enemy, they want us dead. They want most of us dead and the rest enslaved and all mixed up and whatnot to bring us down to a lower level. And so, yeah, when you have nothing left to lose, like people who are going for the jab because they want to keep their job, they do not actually understand that they won't have anything in the you know, near future if they just go along to get along and get the job because I want to travel, get the job because I want to keep my job. But that job isn't going to exist when they are out to destroy everything. So yeah, it is time to get the pitchforks out and basically do something about this now. We're really at the 11th hour. I'll pass it back.
Yes, he did say that. Go ahead, Fred.
I just go say I agree with Monica. We're all too complacent. You know, we need to start showing some backbone. We need to do what that young guy did in Tiananmen Square. when he stood in front of the tanks. That's what we need. More so than just pitchforks, we need the backbone to handle a pitchfork.
Amen. You know, General Nick Glastovic, one of my heroes, you just hit upon something, Fred, you know, people not caring. He said that apathy is the new atheism. You know, he said that. And he also, listen, General, a lot of people don't know this. People are always saying, a lot of people saying, well, we couldn't possibly fight the federal government. We couldn't possibly fight the United States Army. Well, General Nick has proven that wrong. When he went and fought in the Croatian War of Independence, I think from 91 to 94, right in there, they were basically unarmed. They had like hunting rifles, which you would hunt deer and turkey with. You know, that's what they had. And they were facing just a communist juggernaut. But what they did, and people here in the United States and Canada, whatever, we have these things called the armories, National Guard armories. Well, they have some things like that in Yugoslavia, you know, where the general was. They, the patriots, the general was leading, they went and took the weapons away from the army. They took the weapons away from the National Guard. They surrounded their armies. They took their weapons away. So there was just a will, there's a way. That's what the people in Australia need to do right now. They need to turn on those police and those sellout police, those sellout soldiers. Soldiers are rounding people up in Australia right now, fighting the people, transporting them to concentration camps. I saw that on the news crawl yesterday. Well, we the people need to turn on those people. So what if you got 100 soldiers with weapons? If you got 10,000 people with baseball bats and butcher knives and cans of gasoline, take those suckers and make them pay the price. Take their weapons for them. And this is a global fight, a worldwide fight by white people. We need to all do that and take our world back, by God. Back to you, Paul.
Another thing that can be done, many people are being blackmailed into taking the vaccination to keep their jobs or usually. What people should do is this. If they have to take the vaccination, they should tell their family and their friends, look, if anything goes bad, this is the person who gave the order. And it's got to be made personal. The head of personnel or the president of the company, whatever, this is his address or her address. If something goes bad with me, I want you to pick up their home and denounce them as whatever, a killer make them bear the responsibility and be denounced in front of their neighbors. Most people are cowards. They wouldn't like that one little bit. And you know the way people are, they tend to believe, you know, some people out there protesting, they believe the protesters. You start adding to the misery that they feel, the misery that they're inflicting on others. And as far as I'm concerned, if I look at all the evidence and I decide or the risk.
Well, we got to go to our last break, Paul. People will be right back. This has been one hell of a show. We got some of the best guests in the world on. We'll be right back to you with our final segment in just a minute.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, dear people, without wasting another second, we're going to go right back to Mr. Fred Leutcher. He's going to make a comment on what we were talking about, a news item we heard during the break about Thomas Jefferson. Go ahead, Fred. Take it away, fella.
The removal of Thomas Jefferson's likeness and statue in the City Hall of New York is just a total disgrace because he's probably our greatest president. He was the man who almost the entire Declaration of Independence came from him. And with the removal of him, they're removing everything that this country ever stood for. You know, that preceded the Constitution. The Constitution was a result of his ideas that were incorporated into the Declaration of Independence. And to do that, it's just a total disgrace. And I'll turn that over to somebody else now.
Absolutely. You know, I was going to say one more thing about to go off of what you said. I don't have my Declaration of Independence with me, but it goes something like this. About the fourth clause, it says, "And we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men were created equal, and they were endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights among them, That's just a few he names. Our rights are infinite. Among them are life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness." And he says, and it goes on, I'll finish this, make this quick. I'll go on to paraphrase it. It says, "And whenever any form of government ceases to function like it should, then it is the right, it is the duty of we the people to adjust that government, restore it, or even abolish that government and start and institute new governments that does serve us, we the people." So it's our right to destroy, to get rid of that government. That's why it really sets me off when you hear these clowns go off on, "Oh, the January 6th uprising, you know, in Washington, D.C. by the, oh, it was a what do they call that? The insurrection. There was not one firearm anybody could spot up there. Not one person was shot and killed except one of the Patriots was shot by a black government worker up there, you know. So, but you know what? If we did want to go up there, if we did want to storm that place and tear that place to hell down and start a new government and create new buildings, it's our right, it's our privilege as outlined in the Declaration of Independence. How about you? What do you think about that, Monica?
Yeah, it's maybe not, I'll maybe take it further. Maybe it's our obligation to do so, because I think when it comes right down to it, and this is the part that many people are still not really getting, is that the government is not working for us. In fact, the government is the enemy of the people. It's been actually a long time since they have not been the enemy of the people. But over the last number of decades, I mean, when I was growing up, it seemed like a utopia in Canada, and we were led to believe that government is for the people, by the people, of the people. And, you know, there were good people probably working within government, but we were being set up. We were being gradually set up for what's going down now, because there was always this hidden hand pulling the strings of the government representatives. Yes. And they did it gradually, they did it slowly, by way of indoctrination, by way of deception. And, you know, it starts with some of the TV shows in the 70s that were starting to plant seeds of you know, the programming of the mind to think a certain way, the white, bumbling, awkward guy like Archie Bunker, and then the mixed race messages, and it just got more and more intense over the years, and we were kept happy, fat and happy, so that we basically went along and thought everything is fine.
Absolutely. And, you know, Fred said something on, Paul said something on the first hour that was really true. He said that all the political parties in Canada, for instance, here in the United States, we have Democrats and Republicans, but they all agree on, they have a few minor differences, but they all agree on massive influx of browns, blacks, yellows, whatever. Same thing here in the United States. I've come to see, to know for sure, our government here, so-called federal government, it's just, and we'll go back to, I'm going to ask Paul about this. It's just really a facade. It's window dressing. These clowns up there, these parasites that are living off of we the people, making all these endless rules that, you know, Monica said that a mark of communist government is they start making endless rules, 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 rules. They never get through to making rules. But they really have zero power. They're there to do what their master, the Jew, the international Jew, tells them to do. I've realized that. Paul, I feel like we're living in a damn under a dome, a matrix, and we're like bugs being studied by these damn Jews. So I think we have to get rid of our system. We have to tear this entire damn system down and build it back like it used to, like it should have been in the beginning. But because, Paul, I think, I'm going to go to you, I think the system of government, especially here in the United States, is irredeemable. It can't be fixed. It has to be taken down and destroyed and rebuilt the way, because we have to get rid of it. There's too many criminals, too many just rotten, lazy, parasites, pedophile, duck-dealing, Satan-worshipping people in our federal government here in the United States. I don't think our government can be rehabilitated. What do you think about that, Paul?
Yeah, we have to find the mechanism to take power back in both our countries. Something that a lot of patriots have talked about for 30, 40 years is a referendum and recall. But we don't have enough power over our members of parliament to get rid of them and to make them listen to us. You see, the dynamic is they listen more to their party leaders. Now, I think it's a little different in the United States, but definitely taking power back is the priority.
Amen. Amen to that. Fred, what would you like to talk about? How would you like to say about that?
Well, I think that's true. I think our country can be turned around. But I think what has to be done is it has to be done with a firm hand, and we've got to step in, and we've got to take all the people that are opposed to what our Constitution says, what our Declaration of Independence says, and remove them from office. And put some people in there that are responsive to what they're supposed to be. I mean, half the people we got in Washington now could be tried for treason.
Yes.
You know, I mean, our presidents have. Look at Obama. He, with an executive order, he wipes out habeas corpus, which is the fourth article of the U.S. Constitution. You can't do that. You've got no right to imprison somebody in Gitmo and not let anybody find out where he is. You know, I mean, these people. He also wiped out the posse comitatus, which was passed after the Civil War because what the Jews abused down south, and they used the army to collect taxes. The army cannot be used to enforce civil law. That's got to be done by peace officers. And I mean, these people don't belong in office. They're traitors. And you
I
know,
couldn't agree more.
Yeah, so, I mean, yes, I think we can rehabilitate it, but we got to get these people out of there. And people who do things that are contrary to what the Constitution says don't belong in office.
I guess so. I should say the people that are occupying the offices in Washington, D.C. right now, the vast majority of them can't be rehabilitated. The system we have in place would work if we had good people in there. We have to get rid of these people by nook or crook, one way or the other, and I don't care how we do it, because I don't think there's a peaceful solution to get rid of these clowns. Mm-hmm. I believe in the end, it's going to be, we're going to have to get in this in the street. Even Thomas Jefferson, we just get to talk about Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson has said that you have to have a revolution about every 20 years, because if you don't, the same parasites, criminals are going to get in and take over the entire apparatus. You know, Fred, we're about to run out of time, and so you being the expert on Thanksgiving, and since this is our Thanksgiving holiday show, why don't you tell us a little bit about, for instance, I know last year, 2020, was the 400th anniversary of Plymouth Rock, and not one person that said anything in the mainstream news I know of, because it's a white holiday. Tell us a little bit about, we have about 4 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes, yeah. Fred. Tell us a little bit about Thanksgiving, brother, if you don't mind.
Nobody cares about Thanksgiving anymore. They have a celebration down in Plymouth, but the problem is it's not the celebration of Thanksgiving as we know it and as what it should be. It's people that don't even understand what they're celebrating. And it's unfortunate, because that, along with a lot of the other things that were important to our founding fathers and the people who built this country, these things are being totally ignored. We have foreigners that are in there that have no idea of what they should be enforcing, what they should be promoting. And unfortunately, we've had these Bolsheviks that have been in our, they got into our colleges, they're in our schools, and our children don't even understand what they should. They don't, nobody in this country knows history anymore. They don't understand what's happened. They don't, and some of them don't care anymore. And when people don't care about their country, there are problems, major problems. That's why we've got so much complacency. So, yeah, this is unfortunate, I mean, the people who started this country started it with nothing. They came
here.
Yes, they did. Most of them gave their lives freezing to death the first year, or starving to death, because they didn't have what was necessary. And the people that sent them over here and were financing them didn't care either, because they sent them over here too late in the season, so that they didn't have enough time to grow their own food. That's why the first Thanksgiving, which was a year after the colonists got here, that's why that was so important to them, because for the first time they had something to eat. But the people today, they don't appreciate that. People have too much, and people have to suffer. And we don't have that concept anymore. During World War II, they created artificial shortages to make people in the United States. Now, I don't know what that is. But.
Well, you know, since we're getting a little bleed through on your end, Fred, I'll just end up, because we're out of time. Our people, white people, built the hospitals, the university. You know what? There's not one hospital in the United States that's ever been built by a black, by an Indian. Maybe a few Jews built a few hospitals in the end, but they've taken over most of our hospitals. We built all the universities. We put in the giant hydroelectric dams. We built the highways, the electrical system, the medical system. We built everything in this country. And, you know, we should be thankful for that. We should be thankful that our race did that. And we should preach to our children and our grandchildren every day to take pride in their racial heritage, take pride in what our race has done, and we should thank God that our ancestors did come over here, you know, years and years and years ago to build this country. Well, dear Paul Fromm and Monica Schaefer and Fred Lutcher, thank you so much for coming on and making this a great show. And thank all of our listeners for listening in. Thank you, Cameron, for running the board and turning this into a great show. You made it run flawlessly, you little valley. Well, anyway, I'll see you people pretty soon, hopefully, same time, same place. This will be taped. We'll come back December the 4th. Well, good night, everybody.